Hey everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody. I'm here with
Paul A. Presents, known as the Moo Cow.
And I'm also here with
Just Jen.
Wait a minute. That probably describes the whole movie that we just watched. Wait a minute. What did we just see here? But anyway, we are here at the lovely Indie Film Cafe studio.
Where it's freezing!
And if you can't already tell, I have a nasty, nasty ass cold. And so, you're going to have to bear with me for this whole episode like this.
I blame the dog.
I don't blame the dog at all. I blame this temperature in this place.
Oh, she's gone looking.
She's still looking for food. We have a special guest here.
The ravenous hell beast.
Named Lady, who's just here hanging out. So she wanted to tell us that it's time to listen to some moo music. All right, we're back.
So where did Fran Drescher get those,
Oh, shoot, we forgot to say what we're watching.
Oh, no.
All right, we're going to start all over again.
Oh, dear.
Oh, this is one of those days. All right, so we just watched Santa Sleigh. And,
there you go. We're done. That's it.
That's it. Oh, my God.
I'm done.
No, that's
maybe if we all talk like this, it'll sound better.
No, that won't. That'll sound worse. But yes, we just watched Santa Sleigh, starring the amazing Bill Goldberg as a Jewish Santa. And in the first 5 minutes of the movie, you get some of the biggest stars in this whole thing, which is James Caan, who decided not to... I can't talk right now.
He decided not to have his name put on the film for obvious reasons. The nanny is here, Fran Drescher, with her new cleavage, because I don't remember her having that kind of cleavage before. Then there's Rebecca Gayhart, right? And then there's Chris Kattan, right?
Katana.
And who else is in there? Is that it?
That was the only big stars that I know of.
And then there's this little white mop dog who gets kicked.
By Santa.
So Santa makes his grand appearance, comes down the chimney, breaks through the chimney, which is clearly not made out of stone.
Oh, they had a bad habit of, not making anything stone look real.
I know. Just it bounces and just looks silly. But, comes through, kicks the dog, and proceeds to slaughter everybody at the Christmas table. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, because they all show themselves to be jerks in one way or another. Except the dog. I don't suppose the dog deserved it, but... some people want to kill all yappy dogs. And those of you who would love to see Fran Drescher get caught on fire, this is the movie for you. Just because some people just can't stand that kind of voice that she's got.
I don't know. It never bugged me.
It bugs some people. It used to bug me, although I do still like Fran Drescher. Yeah. And then that's kind of where it starts. So first 5 minutes and Santa's already slaughtering people. I'm not sure what Rebecca Gayhart was trying to say there, but...
I think she was trying to say, I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
I've been a good girl.
Oh, probably. I've been a good girl. Of course, a lot of the materials that Santa's killing people with really should not be killing anybody, but, I guess at this point, the movie goes on to explain that he's actually a demon, the spawn of Satan, who would have been killing people, because that's what he normally should be doing, but he made a bet. On actually curling, of all things, with an angel. And because he lost, he had to actually turn this time, which was previously a time of slaying, into a time of spreading good cheer for 1,000 years. And he was getting sick to death of all of these kids writing, letters to him and begging for toys. And finally, now that the 1,000 years is over, he's going to have fun and start killing everyone. And that's where our protagonist comes in, because I guess he's the last Yule son. That's Nicholas. He's there with his grandfather, who is Robert Culp, of all people.
Uh-huh.
And so he's there. He works at a delicatessen, Saul Rubinick's delicatessen. There's an awful lot of Jewish actors in this film, which is kind of interesting.
Isn't Dave Thomas Jewish?
Yes, I believe so. And so is Dave Goldberg and Fran Drescher and all those folks, James Caan. And as a matter of fact, there are a number of Hasidic Jews who show up, and it's a very interesting comment, I think, on Christmas. Anyway, so he works there at the deli with Saul Rubinick and his I guess girlfriend or wannabe girlfriend.
Yeah, they don't really spell it out, but I guess she wants to be his girlfriend.
I can't imagine
he's
why.
He's a bit of a wuss.
Yeah, he's got that late 90s, early aughts hair.
Oh, bad hair. It stands up on its own.
Yeah.
Oh, bad.
It's product hair. Mm-hmm. So he's there with them, and Santa kind of wanders in to kill, and he gets something to eat. So he kills Saul Rubinick with a menorah, and looks at the picture and sees the picture of him.
But before he goes to the deli, you know where Santa stops first.
Okay.
That's when he stops at the strip club.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You have the scene in the church, and the preacher's telling everyone to give money.
Right, that's Dave Thomas.
And then the preacher goes to the strip club with the money. Because that's what you do.
Oh, gold diggers, right?
Yes, gold diggers with some very interesting stripper names.
Right, and some, I think, fairly obviously fake stripper boobs.
Yeah. They were enhanced.
Yeah,
they were fake. They were enhanced.
They were definitely some enhancements going on. So Santa shows up there. He kills the doorman. I think the...
Oh, but before then... Before even all that, he killed the old woman.
The grumpy old lady.
That was one of the best death scenes. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Of anybody who deserved getting whacked, it was this nasty old lady.
Oh, God, yeah.
She's horrible.
She comes into the deli, and she's bitching and moaning about everything. And
right.
Complaining. And
she even says, like, fuck you at the end.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
right.
When he wishes her happy holidays, because he's Jewish. She goes off about political correctness, so he says Merry Christmas. He's like, she just turns around, Merry Christmas, and fuck you.
Fuck you very much.
Oh, okay.
And she calls the girl a whore.
Calls her a whore.
Yeah. She's just standing there. Oh, so when she's driving off, she can't drive straight because she's smoking.
Yeah.
And she's a little old lady who can't see over the...
Crotchy little old lady.
Oh. Yeah, and every stereotype for little
yeah,
old lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Driver.
So here comes Santa on his hell beast sleigh. That's actually a big giant furry bison. And he finally gets sick of her and knocks her off the side of the road.
Did he honk at her first?
He does. Well,
that was great. I have to admit, that was hilarious.
It wasn't so much a honk as it was like a Valhalla horn from hell.
Oh, but still, he has a bison on his sleigh to honk at her
because
she won't get out of the way.
I know. So. Yeah. Yeah, she spins out of control and catches on fire. So we're all pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So after that is, I guess, when he ends up at Gold Diggers. I guess previous to that, you'd seen the little scene where Dave Thomas says the preacher was begging for money, and he's getting all these coins because he's squeezing all these people for their money, and he goes around and he goes to the strip club, and that's where he spends it,
mm-hmm.
which is... probably the most realistic part of the whole film. And he goes there. He kills the doorman.
Mm-hmm.
And he tosses the keys to the sled to the valet, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, it was.
And the guy's kind of looking at it like, what the hell am I supposed to do with that? But he gets in anyway. And later it turns out it looks like the bison ate him because it spits up a valet hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes in there and he keeps more mayhem. He kills some more people there. I think he torments a couple of the pole dancer chicks.
Yeah.
And he sets the place on fire.
With a lump of coal.
With a lump of coal. Because he's a magical being. He does all kinds of crazy magical stuff. In addition to being this super giant, huge, muscly Santa Claus wrestler guy. Because that's what Goldberg was. He was a wrestler back in the day, and I think he did some mixed martial arts and some other stuff as well. And I know he played football for a short period as well. So he's got, like, a pretty buff body, which is really strange because they keep taunting him through the movie. They keep calling him Fat Boy and, you know, oh, you're carrying two extra bills there and all kinds of stuff. And yeah, not really. He's got muscles the size of canned hams.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. So after the the stripper scene, I'm not sure what happens after the stripper scene. I don't remember.
Well, the kid meets with his grandfather, and his grandfather starts the story and
the background.
Yeah, about Santa Claus. And
he has the book, the history
book. Giant book, of course.
Right.
And we get introduced to the grandfather, who is known as the crazy person in town, and he's an inventor, hates Christmas.
This is Robert Culp, and he's got the Book of Claus, and he has this little machine that turns the pages for him. And
the girlfriend, Mary?
Mary.
Mary, yeah, brings the plate of...
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
It was supposed to be Wolverine.
Wolverine. But it was, like, still alive or something.
I was just killed or just skinned or something.
Yeah.
It's fairly gross.
You kind of think she's sort of normal, and then that, no, not so much.
Well, I mean, this is a Canadian movie shot by Canadians, so roadkill might be a thing up there. I don't know.
Wolverine, roadkill.
But, it just gets a little odder after that. So he finds out that his family has, like, been part of this whole thing. I think the grandfather says that they've been...
He doesn't really explain that. He just starts in about the whole Santa legend. Hmm. But he gets interrupted by Mary showing up.
But he's the one who talks about the whole bet with the angel and all that. And in fact, that was a cool scene. That was the best scene in the movie, in my opinion. The whole sort of claymation, like the old 60s claymation style, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It was very much Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That was cool. That was really neat. I like that.
Except Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Oh, God. I can't even talk. I'm just not going to.
No, you're going to have to.
I'm just saying that. Oh, my God. You guys say stuff for a while.
You sound like Oscar the Grouch from the trash can, dude.
That's not worse.
You sound like a demon.
It's true.
Thanks.
Rudy's the Krampus.
I can't talk right now.
That's not any better.
Okay. But Rudolph was never that mean. A spirited. Yeah. Of a cartoon.
This is very true.
I sound like a smoker.
There is a smoker in there with one of those tracheotomy things.
What I sound like.
You should get yourself one of those.
Maybe it'll be better. It can sound better.
Well, the thing about Grandpa is not only is he kind of a whack job, but he has like a... he has all these inventions, and he also has a bunker, as you do.
Yeah.
In a Christmas bunker, so that when Santa goes nuts, you've got some place to hide. So that's what they end up doing, of course, because if you introduce a gun in the first act, you'd better go off in the second half. You know, you introduce a bunker, you better use it at some point in the film, and they do.
Santa goes off killing people.
Yes, he does.
And I can't remember how he sees the kid.
He says he sees the picture of the kid on the wall. And it turns out later on, he says he found the angel because the kid sent him a letter when he was younger.
I thought when he saw the picture on the wall, he saw the grandfather. Because the grandfather was in the picture.
Probably there, too.
Yeah.
I just, you know, there's a cute bit about the Easy Bake Oven that I thought was funny.
Oh, yeah. He asked for Optimus Prime, and he got an Easy Bake Oven.
And he was bitching about that, but it turns out his letter to Santa, he asked for the damn Easy Bake Oven.
That was cute. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and the thing is, the script is very uneven. I mean, there's some very cute parts and some funny parts, mm-hmm. and then there's some parts that are just... they just fall flat and seem to be trying too hard.
Well, and they did a lot of things with words and names that were funny at parts. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to go to Hell's Bells.
Right, because they live in Hell's Township.
Yes. So they're having a bell concert, so that's right. Hell's Bells.
Hell's Bells.
And there were a lot of name jokes that were, you know, said kind of in the background. If you weren't paying attention, you would miss them. So that was fun to try and catch those and to read the stuff in the background.
Right, the girlfriend is named Mary, like Merry Christmas. The kid's name is Nicholas, like Saint Nicholas. His last name is Yulson. Yulson.
Well, one of the lines, the grandfather is reading the book in Norse, and Nicky asks him to read it in English, and he turned around like parents who try and get their child to learn another language, you know, just says, well, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. But he's talking about Norse.
Right.
So, you know, there were some fun lines like that, I thought.
I don't even think Norse is a language. I mean, I think Norse is like a written language, but nobody speaks Norse now. You speak Norwegian or Swedish.
That's the point, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
The old man's 1,000 years old.
Yeah. Well, demon. So yeah, he spends most of the time running around killing random people because that's what he does.
Yeah, I mean, he dresses up like one of the mall Santas.
Right.
It's not the mall Santas, the
or one of the street ringers.
Yeah. Is it Salvation Army Santas?
If you can imagine a 6'8" one full of muscles and a sort of like biker goatee or beard. Yeah, he definitely looks the whole demon part. Yeah, and I don't know. That's kind of really it. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
He chases the two kids, and they try to evade him. And, you know, I guess they're trying to make it so that, you know, when the clock finally stops and it's past Christmas time, that they think they'll be safe. I don't remember that being in the book or in the history, but everybody, I mean, Grandpa seems to think it's okay. And then, of course, I don't know if we can say about the spoiler about the Grandpa. What do you think, Moody?
I say so. We'll say spoil.
Okay, well, as it turns out, Grandpa is the angel. And so when you think he gets killed by the bison, and that was a funny little quip, he's like, Grandpa got run over by a reindeer. He actually really does.
Well, by a bison.
I call that one funny.
Nah, well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't laugh, but you got it right before he said it. So.
Right. A lot of those jokes, you could see them coming as they were getting set up. You know, it happens. It's one of those kind of movies that is going to spray a lot of jokes on the wall, and those that stick, and those that don't, that's okay, because there's so many of them. And that's one of the sort of tropes from the 80s and 90s and into the aughts, and even up until today, that I kind of wish would go away. The whole one-liner thing has been so done, and parodied, and over-parodied, and it's to the point now where you can't even do it as a funny parody anymore. I mean, the previous movie we just saw... had a lot of those too, and I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, we just need to get away from the one-liners.
Yeah, they're not well-timed.
Arnold Schwarzenegger made an entire career out of it, and we don't need everybody mimicking that. It's just lazy writing at this point, in my opinion.
I like it, so whatever. That's the difference between you and me.
True. Well, the worst thing is that if you're going to do them, at least make them either original or interesting or stuff I hadn't heard before or can't tell is going to come.
That's true. I mean, the whole, like, I'm spreading Yuletide fear. I mean, come on. It's just cheesy.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, he kind of says it like a wrestler. Yuletide fear. You know, I could see him on, like, you know, Worldwide Wrestling up there with Hulk Hogan, you know, saying these lines.
On Christmas.
Right. So plot-wise, I think we pretty much explained the whole thing. What about the acting? What did you think of the acting?
There were actors in it. No, the actors that played the two young kids were by far the worst.
Think so?
Oh, I thought, especially the one that plays the kid here, he was bad.
I liked the girl.
Yeah, she had better timing on her lines. The kids.
Oh, she always had better lines, and she was always giving him shit, which was always kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. As you should.
As you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid was, the Nicholas was kind of a dweeb.
Yeah. You know? But I didn't think the actor acted very well. Maybe it was the hair.
It was definitely the hair.
It was the hair.
I actually didn't think the acting was that bad. They all seemed fairly competent and professional. Nobody seemed out of touch, other than me. I mean, I don't know. Bill Goldberg doesn't need to really play a very, you know, broad character for this, so it's hard to really compare. I think he did okay, but it's not like, he's not playing a Shakespearean role here. So, you know, but other than that, I thought the acting was decent. There were some surprising little bits. That whole opening scene surprised the hell out of me. I didn't expect any of that.
Yeah.
Some big stars, man.
Oh yeah, and I thought they did their parts pretty well.
Well, I mean, like we said before, James Caan didn't want to be credited in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in it for what, 5 minutes? Maybe. If that.
Yeah. But, also, I think it's just because he had a huge name, you know? Like, I mean, he just... But, I mean, everybody's going to know he's in it once they see it.
Right. And you got to wonder if those guys... I mean, you said the movie was produced by Brett Ratner. Mm-hmm. You got to wonder if they... Maybe he was able to reach out and get some of these folks to
That's come probably what happened.
And do a favor and say, hey, would you mind being in my friend's movie? Because I forget the director's name, because I forget everything. But he was an assistant, I believe, for Brett Ratner in a couple of his films. So he probably was saying, hey, I can probably get you some names, you know, not for the main part of the movie, but, you know, but at least in the beginning, we can get you a couple of names in there.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting, you know, seeing all the big actors there in the beginning.
Sorry. Right. Right. And, you know, seeing James Caan, it's like the first thing I think of course, is, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, Sonny Corleone is what I immediately thought of with the whole family scene. So that was kind of an interesting nod. But, yeah, I think that's what happened. I think Brett Ratner probably managed to get his friend, some folks from Hollywood to come in and lend a hand and do this. Cause,
nice friend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this was a B-movie. This is not a first-line movie. In fact, if I recall... This never even made it out into the theaters. This was a direct-to-video, wasn't it?
A direct-to-USA network.
Direct-to-USA network. Wow. Interesting.
So I don't know how this even aired.
How? Yeah, really. There was boobage in this.
Well, not just that. I mean, they can cut that scene out. And actually, if they cut that scene out, it still works. Yeah. The movie still works.
That's true.
But
that whole family cursing.
Well,
the kids blow up. And...
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much stuff that they would have to cut this, like... Severely.
Well, they've also been able to cut Blazing Saddles to fit, you know, go on TV, so,
true.
You know.
True.
Just painful to watch. If anyone has seen it's hard. You can't.
I haven't watched TV in years, and I refuse to watch any movie on TV because of that. It's all balderdized version. And so, as far as the acting goes, I think, you know, for the most part, they were okay.
Like I said, my only thing was I just didn't like the guy that did the kid. I thought, out of all of them, he did the worst.
Production-wise, I thought it was okay. There was some stuff that looked kind of bad.
Every stone wall, every cinder block wall looked like a painted sheet.
Yeah, they looked kind of fake.
Very fake. And the windows that were supposed to break were, you could see them wobbling.
Yeah. And then, like, some of the scenes where Santa and the bison are in the air.
Real.
Well, at least most of them are. I don't know about all of them. There were parts of them that were not. But actually, and I think I remember reading about, getting back to the strippers, that Bill Goldberg met his wife on set there. It was one of the strippers who was in the swing. Mm-hmm. He met her. She's a stunt person. And so his thing was to jump onto the thing, and he was being very nervous about it or something, and she was just like, oh, you know, I don't know. She made some kind of quip, some kind of remark that made him feel much better about doing it. And when he did it, he basically asked her out, and after that, they became an item and got married, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Me. So that was kind of cool. But getting back to the special effects, I know there were some instances, like when they're flying.
It
doesn't look
bad.
Good. Looks bad. Looks
it
bad.
Looks like old CGI.
Right.
Movie,
right.
You know, back when it was just starting.
Agreed.
I agree.
But still, I mean, for a B movie, some of the other effects were pretty good. You know, some of the death scenes were kind of fun.
Yeah, I couldn't watch those. No.
Even though they were clearly cartoonish?
No, couldn't. They were not cartoonish enough.
Gotcha.
For me.
They actually look better than some of the ones in some of the other movies that we've seen. So I can understand that kind of a bit.
Yeah.
They were pretty brutal.
Well, and then that's the other thing, too, is this is kind of the wrong time for this kind of movie. You know, back in the 90s and even the early aughts, I don't think this is a problem. Nowadays, with all the you know, gun violence happening all pretty much daily... You know, even though this is just a movie and it's supposed to be, a comedy, I don't know. I just think a movie like this would have a harder sell these days. I mean, people don't really want to have to think about somebody going on a killing rampage. during a holiday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't watch these type of movies, so I couldn't say really what people were into, but I kind of disagree with you a little bit, because this actually, we have so much gun killing, this doesn't have any guns in it.
Well, there's plenty of guns, it's just not used to kill anybody of the other people, because he's some kind of weird demon
thing. He gets shot once, and then the only other time there's any shooting of guns... Well, you have the skeet shooters.
Right, you have, and then...
And then when they're shot at the end, and that's it.
And it's not even that that brings them down. It's a rocket launcher, or a bazooka.
yeah. Which, didn't the bison explode? But then at the very end, the bison was on a jeep. Okay. I wanted to make sure it was... Okay.
Yeah, there were a few little...
On the hood of a jeep? Continuity. You can't drive with that.
There were a few continuity issues.
But I don't think that's a continuity issue. I think that's like a mythical, you know... Like, he's not a typical reindeer, you know what I mean?
He's not a reindeer at all, he's a bison.
I know, but he's supposed to be a reindeer. I don't know why they decided to go with bison. I guess it looks scarier than a reindeer.
Well, it's probably cheaper to get one bison than to get eight reindeer, too.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, there wasn't eight of them, you know?
Right.
Could you imagine eight of those bisons? That would have been fun.
That would have been fun, but expensive, and boy, they'd be pooing all over the place, leaving their lumps of coal for all the naughty kids out there. All right. So some of the writing and some of the dialogue was interesting. They had some curious bits and pieces. There's one point where Mary brings a Christmas gift to Nicholas. And she pulls it out, and he thinks it's a gun. And he's like, "Who are you, fucking retarded? You got me a gun?"
Yeah.
That kind of came out of nowhere.
They throw some of the weirdest profanity in there. It almost seems just for the sake of using profanity.
Right.
It's not what someone normally would say.
And as it turns out, the gun is actually an Optimus Prime thing, and she pulls it apart. She's like, "No, you dweeb, or you retard, or whatever she says." But the other thing we wanted to point out is this is a Canadian production, so there's some Canadian stuff that they're kind of saying here. Like at one point, Grandpa's like saying, "Oh, I didn't raise you to be a Sally," and we were all kind of like, "A what?"
No, I knew what it was. I mean, I knew that it was a sissy.
Yeah, I didn't know
you,
that.
You can kind of guess that from how he's saying.
But also I've heard it before. I don't know where I heard it. I've heard it before.
Interesting.
But yeah, there's some interesting phrases and different things. I mean, like we said, it's Canadian, so there's like a lot of Canadian like references and jokes that we up on.
And, of course, there's all the one-liners. A lot of them just fall flat or kind of crappy. A couple of them are fun. I did like the fact, even though it's absurd, towards the end when Evil Santa is trying to kill them with the Zamboni, and he's explaining, I forget exactly what he was explaining, and Mary turns to him and says, "He's educational as well as evil." I thought that was cute.
Yeah. Well, there were several, I thought, like, funny, truly funny moments. Well, just a minute ago, they showed it in the strip club when he goes to grab the stripper pole, and then he looks, he won't touch it, and he has to clean it off first.
Right.
I thought that was truly funny.
He's being all hygienic and stuff. That was cute. So it's not without its charms. It may not be as consistent as... maybe a movie that had a lot more money into it, but that's okay. For what it was, I think it was pretty interesting. It's pretty funny. There's a whole tradition of Santa and Christmas themed horror movies out there, right from Black Christmas to, you know, I mean, gosh, there's count them all. There's so many of them. Bloody Christmas, and there's just a whole bunch of them.
Don't look at me.
No, I'm looking at the mute one over here.
Oh, okay. The one with the demon voice.
Black Christmas, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff.
Well, Robert Culp was in Silent Night.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Deadly Night 3.
Okay.
So, there's a third one.
Right. Jeez. So, yeah, there's...
Because they need that.
The idea of horror movies sort of co-opting holidays in general, there's a long tradition of that, but especially Christmas. I think we had this discussion about, we were trying to think of movies, horror movies associated with holidays, and we're like, gosh, there's probably even a Groundhog's Day horror movie that's
there
out
is.
There. There is.
And not like the Groundhog Day movie, you know, where it's the same day over and over again. No, literally, there is a movie being made called Groundhog Day.
There you go.
So, I mean, there's everything. I mean, people are just literally looking for holidays that have not been used so they can use it.
And it makes me think because, you know, the holidays aren't for everybody. I mean, honestly, there are times, I mean, aside from the fact that you're speaking with family, sometimes people get bored and they want to go and they want to see a movie and they don't want to see the same old schmaltzy stuff. They want something that undermines it.
You're saying no Hallmark Channel movies?
Yeah. Not everybody digs that all the time.
Those are awful.
Those are
my
fun,
goodness.
Though.
Oh, no.
They should do a Hallmark horror Christmas movie.
I'd be totally into that. Yeah, people die from, like, they get their hands fall off because they get these awful paper cuts after they open up their Hallmark cards. But, yeah, the whole undermining of Christmas movies and all the schmaltziness, it's there. It's, you know, it's nothing new. It's been done many, many times. Bad Santa and all the other ones that are more comedy-oriented. This one, I guess, is supposed to be more horror. I don't know. This there's a lot of comedy elements in this as well because it's pretty absurd.
Horror. Yeah,
you can't really believe stuff that you're seeing. You know?
No.
Wait, you mean when those
really?
Kids got their heads blown off from opening the presents?
Yeah.
You couldn't believe that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
These sort of things don't happen. But,
what?
That
sounded really bad. Girl.
My only other real issue with the film is something that I think you liked again. I don't really like all the intrusive music. I
loved it.
I hate the fact that it comes in and breaks up the film. That always
it
bugs me.
Break the film, break
it,
the film.
It annoys me.
It adds to it.
Mood.
I believe it.
It's just you know, especially when it's like contemporary stuff and you know it just bugs the hell out of me. It's
you are an old fuddy duddy.
Oh, yeah, partially.
It's
just, blah.
I love it. I love the pop music. I love the gangster rap music that sounded like had, like, Christmas theme stuff. Like, I thought that was hilarious, you know. Actually, it sounded more like old school rap, like, you know, from, like, Vanilla Ice or something.
Oh, my God.
Things like that, you know, MC Hammer, you know, Go Christmas, Go Christmas, Go.
Exactly. And those two examples you just cited are jokes. The people who actually listen to rap music, and they'll tell you that stuff is crap. And that's the thing. I don't mind crappy movies, but for some reason, crappy music just drives me up a wall.
I love it. I mean, I just, you know, I grew up on Kris Kross, okay, so.
Oh, Lord. And a little
makes
bit.
Makes me want to jump.
For me, a little bit goes a long way.
Well done,
yes.
Sir.
A little bit goes a long way for me. There was a lot of it in the movie. Well, Jen, what about you? Did you enjoy the music?
No, I thought it all sucked.
I'm the only one. Yes.
There you go.
No, I enjoyed
but
it.
But I did like Santa's sleigh.
You mean you liked his actual sleigh?
Sleigh.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Not the movie.
Not the title.
But I did like his actual
sleigh. Because it looks like a Viking longship.
Yes. I thought that was a cool little thing
like a
there.
Norse thing.
Yeah, it's got like little shields on the side.
Yes.
It's got that strange animal horn from hell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course it's being pulled by the giant fuzzy hell beast bison creature.
Hey, you're not, there's only one hell beast here.
Poor lady.
I agree. I like the sleigh. I just think it's, you know, it was awesome. You know, like it just, everything kind of looked cool with it, you know. Especially when it was flying, it looked cool. And then, like, it shot out fire and stuff. And I'm like, Santa's shooting out fire. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah,
well, how else is he going to fly?
He had all kinds of interesting little demon tricks. You know, I mean, I practically expected him to have lasers coming from his eyes, too. Like,
Didn't he?
No, that was the previous movie we watched.
No. There was this one part where he's like, attacking them somehow with something. Like,
no,
he
didn't
threw...
he spit fire?
Yeah,
he's, like
yeah
that?
He spat fire. He spat some kind of...
I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. It's
he only did it once, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, well, maybe like, that's what he did with the coal, too. He blew fire into the coal and then threw it into the strip club. So
yeah, he's kind of a one-trick pony. He does these things just kind of once and that's it. But, you know, it's a little inconsistent, too. Like, he does get shot point-blank with a gun and it does almost nothing to him.
Yeah.
Yet the nutcracker that fires the chestnut...
maybe the chestnut has something to do with, like,
you know... his grandfather made the nutcracker, so...
Yeah, it could have been something like...
Some magical angel stuff.
I suppose... It wasn't really explained, but, yeah.
I do want to mention something, though, that bugged me. Really bugged me was that the dude finds his boss dead and everything. And then the girl calls up, and she does not sound at all, like, sad that her boss just died.
True.
That she actually likes. You know, he gives them presents and stuff. They might be sucky presents. But one of them actually came in handy. The other one did not. But,
Snow Globe was cute.
She liked the other snow globe he got her last year.
Exactly. Well, she said that. I don't know if she did or not. She might have been nice. But, you know, that's the thing. She said she did, and that was kind of cool. But, so she likes the boss, yet when she calls up, she's just like, did you hear what happened? Okay, well, hang out. Well, you know, like, there's no, like, any at all, like, upsetness at all. And I'm just like... You know, that didn't seem right to me.
He wasn't even really dead yet. I mean, because when he went there, he's like, finds him and he thinks he's dead. But then all of a sudden he talks, he says, Santa is real.
Right. And then the cops show up and then they don't. I mean, obviously that kid's probably not going to be the one that kills the guy. Because, it looked like a dude like shoved a menorah or whatever in, you know, through, you know, like it's somebody really powerful, not that kid. But. Still, like, he's the only one at that scene of the crime, and the cops didn't once even suspect him to be the murderer.
Yeah, what I didn't get is he hears about it on the crime on the radio at the gas station. He runs to the shop. Excuse me. He runs to the shop, and he beats the cops there.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the cops don't look like they were like eating donuts and stuff. So maybe they just the typical, you know. What stereotypical cops who just don't give a fuck and, you know, all this stuff.
Well, didn't they call the Jews outside Amish?
Right.
Were they Amish or were they Jewish?
They were Jewish.
But he called them Amish because they didn't know anyone better. Although
they're playing that dumb cop stereotype.
I would like to point out the fact that if I were a cop and I happen to be in Canada, I'd probably be very happy because... I'd be eating donuts and having coffee from Tim Hortons, which, of course, is one of the greatest things in the world. So there is some benefit to that.
Plug to Tim Hortons, who's not giving us any kind of...
Send us your free merchandise, Tim Hortons, and we'll speak of you on the air.
Apparently, you'll speak of you without getting all that free
merchandise. I know. They don't need to send you anything.
That's I know. Okay. They're like, why would we send you
They got to know which side of their bagel is being buttered, that's all.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Now I want a bagel, a toasted bagel from Tim Hortons.
Right over my head. Anyway.
The whole cop thing was kind of weird. We had that one chief who is really kind of an asshole, but he's dressed up like Santa, and he won't listen to Nicholas giving him all kinds of information about the Santa, even though all his little cop buddies are getting killed in the outside because Santa just wipes them all out. Without very much effort. Oh, there they are eating their stuff.
Right. Like I said, they're eating donuts and just, you know, one guy's really freaking short.
Oh, I know. And I don't think he's eating a donut that looks like a stuffed cruller of some kind.
Isn't that a freaking donut?
It's a cruller.
Probably from Tim
Hortons. It's a pastry.
Oh, jeez.
Donuts have holes in them.
Your mouth has a hole in it.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm tired.
It's been a long season, guys.
Well, but we're almost at the end.
We're almost at the end.
Of the first season.
Not really sure what else to say about Santa's sleigh.
This might be a short episode, fellas.
Lots of ho-ho-ho and lots of killing. And we can say that at the end, Santa does get away, right?
Sort of. He goes back to the North Pole, I guess. But, didn't understand that ending.
Yeah, there's a connection from Winnipeg to the North Pole. I guess it has its own international airport.
I feel like there was an extra scene that we missed, like at the end, because I read on IMDb. Apparently, Santa says at the end, "Who's next?" Mm-hmm. Right, like you know, you would say when you're sitting on his lap or whatever. And that's actually a line that Bill Goldberg says in, you know, his when he does his wrestling. So I'm wondering if that we there was an extra scene at the end of the movie. So that we did not see, because honestly.
Either that or perhaps they were just kind of, you know, making it so that just in case there might have been a sequel.
Right. No, I mean, I understand why they said it. You know, they set it up. I'm wondering if it's there. It might have been cut for this particular DVD or something, you know, or whatever. Because I don't remember. All I remember is him going to the airport, talking to the lady about the stuff or whatever. Shows his sack.
Oh yeah, then, the whole thing with the sack. Has your sack been in your possession the entire time?
Like obviously, like little like. No. Innuendos and shit. But.
Was it that? No, she didn't say that. She said something about someone else messing with his sack. It was that.
It was such a strange scene.
Right, right.
And then he like sets up and, you know, so. Yeah.
But there was, you know, we have it as we do in the background. It was kind of interesting. They decided to flip-flop where the girl is the one that is all about the guns and is shooting. The guy just looks at her like. He doesn't have a clue.
Right. Yeah, she was certainly a lot more competent in pretty much all regards than he was.
Yeah.
She was a much better character, honestly.
Yeah, if anything, he was more of like a trophy pretty boy as opposed to
which is not girl. Typical.
I'm going to use the word pretty kind of loosely here.
Oh, are you talking about his hair again?
You're very obsessed with his hair.
It doesn't move.
I know. A lot of product, you see. There's a lot of bad wallpaper in the film, too. really, and it clashes. It's like you go to the next room and there's another one, and it's just really, really strange. So
fantastic.
I want to know where they shot this movie. And I want to know what the reception was. I mean, obviously they were kind of hopeful that there might be another one, but it never, ever, ever happened.
When was this made?
2004, 2005, something like that?
2005.
Oh, okay.
But... like we said, it was a direct to, not even direct to video, it was direct to cable.
Cable, so. It's crazy.
I mean, hell, you see all the garbage that Sci-Fi Channel makes on a regular basis. I mean, you tell me they couldn't have made another one of these kind of movies? I mean,
well, this was much better than their other Christmas one that they did. They did a Shark Christmas movie just recently. That was really bad.
Shark Christmas?
Yeah, it was called Santa Jaws.
Oh no! How did this escape my notice?
Well, so anyway, they made this movie, and it's. I thought it was gonna be fun, like this. You know, like this is fun to me. You know, it's kind of enjoyable. Sure. But that movie was kind of, I felt like that was boring and stuff because there's just they really try to make it for TV, so it you know or whatever, and there just could have been some cool stuff that they did with it, and it just. I felt like it was a lackluster movie. But this, I mean, I would rather see this movie on Sci-Fi than
remember,
that.
We've always said cardinal sin of bad filmmaking is to make it boring. This was not a boring film.
I didn't think so. I was never bored
at
all.
There was always something absurd, but something going on, you know. And this wasn't overly convoluted either. This wasn't like some of the films we watched where we really couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. It was very simple and straightforward, and really it's just, you know, Santa Claus killing everybody, wanting to kill the family of the angel, and that's, you know, that's it. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And we don't even know he's an angel until, like, the last like, 10, 20 minutes of
right,
it.
Right.
I figured that one out.
Oh, did you?
Oh, my goodness, just Jen.
I didn't, did
you? No.
That's why when you guys were commenting that the picture that he sees in the deli, they're looking for the kid, and I'm thinking, I think he was looking at the guy.
Wow. Oh, okay.
The angel.
I see.
Yeah.
So you caught it before we did. Way before.
My goodness.
Good for you, Jim.
Yep.
We have taught you well, young Padawan.
Well, are you saying the student has become the teacher?
Student has become the master at last.
Nope.
I think she was the master all along.
Nice.
Anyway,
so it was interesting because, as we guess we should probably bring up to our audience, we are wrapping up our first season of Indie Film Cafe, and November's kind of going to be it. So
actually, I guess maybe even December might be like when we actually drop the last episode, because we're not going to be able to come back next week to shoot anything, because you've got something planned. But I think the next week after that, we'll be doing Thanksgiving.
Right.
So it'll be another holiday one, which will be after Thanksgiving. That's kind of funny.
Although Thanksgiving is early this year. It's like the 22nd.
Yeah, so that's why.
Right.
It's so early. And then we're going to do, after that, we're going to take a break for a month, for the month of December, and then we'll be back in January.
We are going to have one thing in December where we're going to talk about just sort of the wrap-up of the season. And maybe talk about what our favorite movies won, what the worst movie was. You know, because remember, they've all got scores now.
Well, just like, what's our favorite in general, anyway?
Right.
Of all the ones we've done.
Everything we've done for this season.
Yeah, so it could be this one, or it could be Thanksgiving. Could be.
I'm sure this one is Jen's favorite. I just know. Well, she figured it out before any of us.
I don't know. I think she has a soft spot for Fateful Findings.
Oh, yeah.
Hell no.
That's right. I got to buy you that Breen, I Love Neil Breen t-shirt.
I will vomit. No.
Well, you know, honestly, what could be better than Roller Gator? I don't know.
Roller Gator was so adorable.
That one was pretty adorable. Or Suburban Sasquatch with the doggy.
Muffy. No. So anyway, we'll be giving you our wrap-up episode as well.
We'll be giving we'll be doing more jokes like this about it. And I will not sound like this, I guarantee, in a couple weeks. So I hope not. I really hope not.
Hopefully none of us will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, I guess let's wrap it up, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess we need to give our scores.
It's a short episode. Well, not a short episode. It's about this. The length as normally is. About, right?
That's what she said. It's
boo.
It's about time. Hey, we were doing bad jokes, right? About time for us to give our scores. So, as we normally do, we've got to remind everybody that on the Stinkometer score, the lower the score, the better the film, and the higher the score, the stinkier the movie is. So, if it's got a high score, you know it's full of rotten goodness. Okay.
All
right. Who would like to go first?
You go first.
Not it.
So this is not a particularly stinky film. I can't say that it's a particularly great film either. I'm going to give this a 6.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere in the middle.
How dare you? You stole my number.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
I'm totally watching it. I'm like, how would I? Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
Well, damn. Because I wasn't going to give it a 6. But it
really?
It would have been a 666.
Oh, my goodness. Our first 666.
No, I said I wasn't going to.
Well, then don't.
And I wasn't, and I'm not going to, because we already have a 666 up there, I believe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, I was going to give it a 3, actually.
Oh, okay.
I actually kind of liked it. I enjoyed it. It wasn't, like you said, it's not particularly bad film. It's not and it's not by any means a great film, you know, but it's, you know, I don't think it's a 6. I mean, I think it definitely merits a 3 in my opinion.
Okay.
I'd watch this, you know, every Christmas.
So this will be a new Christmas tradition for you.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, it's not something I watch during the summer or something, you know, Christmas in July maybe, but, you know.
I could see tormenting my friends at Christmas, but otherwise, I don't know that I'd put it on again.
Yeah, I don't think, because like we just watched a movie called Carousel,
right?
And we did a What the Fuck Friday for it.
Yes, we did.
And that movie you said you love to torment your friends.
Absolutely. I can't wait to torture my friends.
I was about to say, you saying you're only going to use it to torment your friends. You like to torment them quite a lot. So that really doesn't.
That doesn't narrow it down, does it?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, you always torment the ones you love with bad films. That's how the song goes.
And she thinks you have food.
Oh my goodness, the voracious hell beast is in my face.
So yeah, so I guess 6-6-3.
Okay.
Which that's I think is spread. You know, I think that's good. Because you know, I don't have to agree with everything that you guys.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I'm not gonna say it just to get the 666. Because that is kind of cool. It would be like with Satan, you know, kind of go along with it. But it's not how I feel. So
I do not believe Dave Thomas was actually running in the Santa outfit in this particular scene. Given that Dave Thomas was probably like early 60s at that point, yeah, I'm sure they had themselves a stunt person, a stunt double.
Yeah, just a stunt person for most of the show, you know. This movie's crazy. It's got a lot of stunts in it, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it actually did have, and they did a lot of stuff with the snowmobiles.
I think a bunch of the strippers were stunt people too, by the way. So like a lot of that stuff was like the Bill Goldberg's wife was actually a stunt person.
Right.
So she was a stunt person slash extra stripper character.
Met her on the set.
So I think that's really cool. So yeah, there's a lot of stunts, a lot of cool stuff in this movie.
Which just goes to show, you never know when you meet that special someone. Could be on the set of a stinky movie.
A stinky movie that has strippers.
That's right.
You just never know. So I guess, that about wraps it up. I mean, next week we obviously won't be doing anything. And sorry it took us an extra week. I mean, we've been busy, so there's a lot going on. This is that time of year.
Yeah. Stop whining.
You people. Stop asking for more.
Demanding more and more of us.
Yeah. So,
by the way, go to Patreon and give us money.
Yes. More of that.
More money.
More money, but less whining.
That's right.
Because you'll get it when you get it. Even with me sounding like this. All right. Yeah. Well,
don't forget our usual plugs. Go and visit our site on indiefilmcafe.reviews. Go see our stuff on Facebook and on YouTube. We're on Podbean. We're on all those things. We're everywhere.
Just Google Indie Film Cafe and you'll find us all over the place.
We're taking over the universe. We're an infection. You can spray all you want. We're still coming back.
Okay.
Get your booster shot, your antibiotics. We're still coming back. Like a cold sore that won't go away.
You just keep going and going, don't you?
All righty. We're done.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Good night. Merry Christmas.
Okay.
And have a very happy holiday there, Mrs. Talbot.
Don't use that political language shit with me. It's Christmas. Wish me Merry Christmas.
I'm sorry. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Talbot.
Thank you, and go fuck yourself.
It's cold.
I'm gonna turn into an icicle.
We're here at the North Pole.
Gensicle.
Oh, Grandpa got run over by a reindeer.